Dynasty Theory is now a proud member of the DLF family of podcasts, and we could not be more excited. Tune in each and every week when we provide actionable advice to help you navigate through the crazy world of Dynasty Fantasy Football. We're always diving into quickly changing values, market inefficiencies, and opportunities to help you build those dynasties. Make sure you also check out the show on Twitter and Instagram at Dynasty Theory FF. Enjoy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Tommy B, and I too have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 260 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. Get it up there, Tommy. And we just did. All right. One week closer. Rocky.
That's
we have
me.
We have a rookie draft tomorrow.
Oh shit! I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a first round pick too, actually, in that one, which I don't in a lot of drafts. But
I don't have any picks in that draft because, you know, I traded them all to win. Yeah, I won the league, everybody. You couldn't hear it, but it was me pounding my chest. You know, I don't have like muscles that they would bounce off of and make noise. So
you're, I really keeping the name though, still right. Deals. Unlike when Casey won. You're still keeping Casey's name?
No, we're not renaming it.
Honestly,
it was just like we called it definitely not another Dynasty League because no one really could join another league. But we're like, no, this definitely isn't another Dynasty League. Don't worry about it. And then Casey at the Casey Kasem won it. And she's like, hey, I just won the Dynasty Awesome Sauce with my homies league. And I'm like, well, that's the name of the league now. So, yeah. So it was the first winner that got to choose the name. We are not changing that every year. I can't keep up with that.
My team sucks in that league, so that's why I actually have a first-round pick.
You can give it to me if you want. I won't give you much back, but I'll take
it. Exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are much closer, like, because every week I've been complaining, and I'm still sitting here complaining because I'm ready for it. But we are not there yet. And before we get started, Tommy, like I joked on my tweet, I find myself hilarious, longtime listener, first time caller, is his first time on the show, even though he is mentioned many times on the show, because he usually gives us a question every freaking week. But before we get going, why don't you just give everybody a little hint into who Tommy B really is on the inside?
Yeah, I'm one of those classic people in 2020 who was stuck in their house and talking trash with their friends, and one of my friends told me he was better at fantasy than me. And so we started a dynasty league, and ever since then I've kind of gotten hooked. I see all sorts of different threads that pertain to dynasty in my daily life. I'm always thinking about it. I'm always putting out ideas. And so I found you guys and listened every week, started asking questions, and got invited to a league, which was pretty awesome. So thank you very much.
You skipped the important part. Did you beat him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we've been playing for, 3 years now? He's beat me once, but I've won the championship twice.
Championship's all that matters. Like, in season, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, unless I beat Rocky in a season, and then he beats me in the championship, because I can't win Trade Addicts Leagues, apparently. One.
I still haven't won one, and now I'm in all of them.
Oh, now you have no excuse.
Yeah, I need to win one this year.
Well, that, and, you know, I gave you, like, three really not good
seasons. Yeah, almost every time I've taken over an orphan, it's been total dog shit, but...
Well, that's how much we respect you, and that's how good we know you are. That you can handle that, Rocky. You can handle it.
Yeah, well, I still can't win. No, I don't want to handle it. Give me a good team. I can handle that too, Russ.
I don't want to. Because you're better than I am, and I don't want to deal with that. All right, back to Tommy, because he's the one that we should be talking to. You just let us know how long you've been playing, but what are some of the best and worst trades you've made in your Dynasty tri-year experience?
I had to let out a heavy sigh, because my worst trade is all of the trades that I've never made for Travis Kelce. I've never had him on any of my teams ever. When I started, I was ageist, and I thought, this guy's old. He's not going to maintain his production, and he hasn't. He's gotten better. So my worst trade by far is the fact that I love tight ends. I rostered too many of them probably, but I've never had Travis Kelce on my team.
How many teams do you have, and how many teams do you have George Kittle on? He was letting me know that he plans on doing something like my Higgins thing in the background with George Kittle.
Okay.
So
yeah, be still my heart. I love George Kittle. He's my favorite pro athlete ever. I've got George Kittle in, gosh, probably 10 of my 15 leagues. I've also got Mark Andrews and Kyle Pitts in probably 7 each respectively. So I overdraft, I overtrade for tight ends, and I'm an idiot for not paying up for Kelce.
That's crazy that you would never have on 15 teams too, that you would never have him.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't help but agree with you, because Travis Kelce everywhere. But
is
it's really
still
funny
your tight end one, Russ?
What?
Is he still your tight end one?
Mm-hmm. And it's really funny, because I shared my article with Tommy, because he told me how much of a Kittle fan he was. I wrote my Dynasty Trading Post article today about George Kittle and pajamas, but that's besides the point. And it really is. He's like Tommy said, you can find Dynasty and fantasy football everywhere, and I prove him right in my ridiculousness. But I talk about, you know, the different ways to go about onesie positions like tight end, whether it's go streaming or get yourself a stud. And while I didn't want to go into too much detail in the article, because who the hell cares? But like, I remember, like, I was all about streaming. I really just wanted to do all of this. Like, you know, I don't want to spend up, and you're allowed to let your dogs bark. We told you this is a pet friendly show. I saw that. But then honestly, I don't know if it was once I started Dynasty or once I just hit 20 something leagues. I'm like, I don't want to make these decisions anymore, man. Like, it's a onesie position. Give me that positional advantage. Give me that one player. I feel safe starting every single week. And then once you get to that point, you're just like, why not get the best guy? And to me, that's Kelce, you know. So that's I'm far too lazy to go through it all or to have to uncheck all of the leagues that because I do two mock drafts every single month and whatever, to uncheck all of the things on Dynasty Planet to get my rostership at this point. But I feel like Kelce's probably my most owned tight end amongst all my leagues. Okay, so do you have any good trades at least?
I have a lot of favorite trades.
That's
right?
Good. I'm hitting you with it. Hit us with it.
Yeah, so the good ebbs and flows, but one that sort of stayed true. When Leonard Fournette got cut by the Jaguars a few years ago, and he was just kind of out there in the ether, I just so happened to have every other Jaguars running back on my roster. And I flipped Chris Thompson for a first and a third. And I just loved that. I loved because
that's amazing.
I saw an opportunity and I just seized it. You know, those feel so good when you trade away something. You're like, I just don't believe in this guy. And you get a first round pick. So that's my favorite, I think, in the last few years.
I forgot Chris Thompson even existed until you said that name just
100%. Because it's funny, because exactly what Rocky's like, because I'm like, you know, when Leonard Fournette got cut, I had every other Jaguars running back. Who the hell were Jaguars other running backs? I can't even remember anymore.
Yeah.
It feels so long ago. That was what, like probably 3 years ago?
Yeah, I had just started playing. And the beauty of it was I had James Robinson, who turned out to be the guy. And so I got a whole bunch of points anyway.
Oh, Frank in the chat, who is always much better with news than I am. Bengals are asking Mixon to take a pay cut, and if he says no, he will be cut. Ooh, pay cut or cut. I like that. That is catchy. And I feel like we saw this coming. Like, there was a lot of... clearly, I think it was last week, I was prematurely celebrating a T. Higgins extension, which hasn't happened yet. But they have so many people they have to pay. Like, they can't afford anyone at this point. That has to be happening. And the thing is, someone will give Mixon money. So, go... I don't think anyone's... I've been getting a lot of trade offers to take Mixon on. I'm like, first of all, it's April, no thanks. And then it's like, I mean, I'm not giving you, like, Tua for Joe Mixon. Like, I don't remember if that was one of the actual offers, but, like, it's like, what offer? Okay, would have to come across your, and we'll go back to the last question of our interview, which I completely just cut off. Like, what would you guys need to send away to be willing to put Joe Mixon on one of your teams right now? Would you send any first for Joe Mixon?
No way.
Very, very heavy head shaking going on. Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I mean, there's been rumblings about this going on anyway that he might be.
Yeah, for a while. Yeah.
Do I really like him that much if he's not a Bengal? Plus, doesn't he have some? Is that legal issue still hanging out there? Or
it is. Let's. It's not gone. That is like the gist of what I have seen recently, where it's not a thing yet, but it's not completely gone yet. Which means absolutely nothing. Like, right? Like, that just doesn't really... Like, I'm trying to think of... Ooh, Allen Robinson got traded to Pittsburgh. Sorry, George Pickens. Sorry, Deontay. You're done.
Yeah, did you see the trade, Russ? They moved up in the seventh round. That was the deal, basically.
The Rams were like 26 in the seventh. I could have figured it, Rock. Thank you. Actually, you know what? What we're gonna do? We are going to really quick because it's not really quick because every time you want to log into DLF, you have to re-log in I work upstairs, so I'm on my computer upstairs all the time. But then I podcast down here in my basement, so I write my articles instead of doing my day job. So I'm doing that upstairs, and I come down here and I have to log back in after all of that stuff. So. Like, I want to find some real Mixon trades that have gone down recently to see if, like, maybe it is worthwhile going to see, like, maybe I'll go get Mixon. Mixon is, like, a very big piece of things. Mixon for Russell Gage and the 202 in a one quarterback league.
Pick.
I would trade that for Mixon.
I would trade that for in a one quarterback league, yeah. Would you do it in a super flex league? Honestly, I think I take my throw at whatever running back gets taken in like round three of the NFL draft and just buy back 6-7 years and a little bit of speed.
It's a lot tougher. I think I'd do an early second for Mixon. And Russell Gage means nothing in that deal. So,
Yeah. Wow. Mixon seems to be a very big add-on piece for things. Like, there's not many trades that are just. Saquon Barkley for Joe Mixon, the 208 and a 24 second and third. Oh my God, I would go to someone's house to hand them my phone to hit the accept button to go for them to give me Saquon Barkley for that.
Yeah, third. That's easily Saquon there.
Oh my, a third and a 24 second. I really hope there's something to this league we don't know.
I think the move is more to package someone like Rashad Penny and maybe a temporary bridge quarterback to try to get Mixon. I don't know if picks are the move to grab him right now.
JD McKissick, who is currently a free agent, by the way, and the 202 for Joe Mixon and the 311. Joe Mixon for Juwan Johnson and the 205. Like, yeah, like Joe Mixon straight up for the 207. Like,
at that point, I'm just holding Joe Mixon.
Yeah. Or, like, I might go through and see if I could send mid-seconds for Joe Mixon because he's not bad. He's not great anymore, especially if he's gone. Oh, Frank is asking Mixon or Dalvin? because he's another guy who might end up getting cut or traded.
Seems he's going to be. They basically said, Vikings reporters have basically been saying he's going to be cut, like unless he majorly, I think, restructures or something. And it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So,
yep. So it's going to be a fun year for those 2017 running backs, and Christian McCaffrey's still setting the world on fire. So,
Fournette's still a free agent too, isn't he?
He's probably one of those like right before the season starts pickups. Yeah. Like, you know, for Leonard Fournette doesn't want to be working out or anything.
Just saying, he's also from that 2017 class.
Yeah. All right, so let's go back to our last interview question. What is a guiding principle, Tommy, you take with you whether you're offering or evaluating a trade?
Yeah, I think each fantasy league is kind of a flawed market, and there are a lot of opportunities to be different. So what I do, I mainly adopt orphans. I don't do a lot of startups. And so I'll go through all the transactions of the last few years and figure out, you know, what is the vibe of this league? What are people valuing? What are they into? And then I flee to the exact opposite. I love being different. If there's a 12-team league, you have an 8% chance theoretically of winning, right? So chase the value of being different. Don't be afraid of, you know, people being confused by the moves that you make, as long as they're data-driven, as long as they're sound and you're following base rates and you understand what you're doing. Execute a plan, and don't just execute it, but like execute it to the fullest. It doesn't matter if you have a plan, if you sort of stay down the middle, really lean into the extremes with fantasy, because the payouts are typically pretty extreme at the first spot and sometimes the second, but getting third doesn't matter. Getting second doesn't really matter. Being the champion is what matters. And to get there, you have to do asymmetrical moves to your league.
I hate when people's answer is be smart and know what you're doing, because I feel very attacked.
I'm curious about the first part you said there. Is the reason you – it's funny that you don't do a lot of startups. It seems like most people do too many startups because they like drafting. Is it because of the trade it's so much easier to like – post-startup, people don't trade a lot. People trade in the startup, but there's not a lot of player trading post-startup. Is it the trading aspect? Is that why you like to take on orcs or – or what is it?
Yeah, so professionally, I'm an energy manager. So it's my job to diagnose problems in systems and to make them more efficient and better. So I can't help myself. I see a team and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's 14 wide receivers on this team. I could boil that down to 4 if I tried. And so I adopt it. And then, you know, 2 years later, I've got 5 wide receivers and 17 running backs and really good quarterbacks. And like, I love the work of taking something that isn't quite what it should be and reimagining it in a way that sort of fits my vision for how teams should be built.
See, I get it. But my answer is usually just because I'm really bad at drafting.
It's stressful.
But I honestly do. I actually do prefer taking over open teams as opposed to drafting. And I do love trading around a draft. It is fun. But there's nothing like walking in and just like looking around and just being like, yeah, this isn't me. Let's make this me. Let's do something. And then, you know, you like rub the chalk on your hands, pull up your boots and you're just like go to town on that team and just like gone. Give me. Oh, all right. This looks like every other one of my teams. Whoops. Let's do a little something else, you know. That to me is a lot more fun than drafting. And again, a little weighing in that I just think I'm bad at drafting, but in general, just because it's like, I also have the unfortunate disposition of liking rebuilding more than I like building, like having competing teams, just because I think the build is fun and you should win for having a pretty roster. But
and you really do trading around a draft. We just did the TA11 draft in the 25th round. Russ is sending them like trade offers. Like,
well, what I always do,
my 25th for your, yeah, my 26th for your 25th, and your, yeah, it's insane.
Well, because I don't want to draft in the end, like, so I'll always just send 2 picks for 1 to keep moving up once you hit the 20s. Because,
yeah,
what do I need to draft in the 32nd round for? And yes, I know we have
far too many
PA leagues, we have 28 roster spots during you know, point scoring seasons, so we expand to 32 because there's 4 rounds of the rookie draft. So our startups are full non-point scoring season size, so the draft is full non-point scoring season size, and 32 rounds gets really, really bad.
Yes. But like, even with the picks in there,
it makes too much sense in my head to have the numbers match, so I leave it anyway. And mostly because, like I said before, I'm checked out well before the end of the draft. Yeah. So, okay.
We skipped like my last three picks or something like that.
Yeah. And also, I do tell anyone the second you're done, just let me know. I'll set it to skip your pick and everyone could just keep drafting to their heart's content. I usually end up with like 25 players on my team and I'll call it a day. Though it's like really funny. Like, even when you're rebuilding, like, you should always have all your roster spots filled. I do not. Like, that's one thing I'm really, really bad at. And that also comes down to having to pay attention to the waiver wire, which in Dynasty, I just don't do.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, like, and yeah, that's bad sometimes, but not enough to make me care. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, when you have 32 roster spots, usually those guys that are filling out 30 to 32 never end up mattering as much as you'd like to hope that they're going to. It almost never, ever, ever, ever does.
So, Rocky, you ready to talk about the news?
I'm ready.
So, we have some sad news today. I am heartbroken that my favorite joke of the past like 2 years is now gone.
What was it I said in one of the TA chats? You need to find someone who loves you like... the way that Russ loves this joke. Yeah. Jalen Hurts
came out. Jalen Hurts got paid. I went in there and I threw in all capital letters, but they have the draft capital to replace him. And Rocky comes in with, find someone who loves you like Russ loves that joke. And I put in there, well, this is the last time I get to make it because they shown it. They did it. They did what they should do and they paid the man. But besides the death of my joke, does this really mean anything to either of you? Did anyone really still believe he wasn't the guy? Like, I feel like he's most people's top five QB, if not QB3. He's my QB3.
He was the runner-up for MVP last year in the actual NFL, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, we were, you know, jumping on Jalen Hurts' bandwagon before last season, so we were there for it. We believed. But, like, Tommy, were you a Jalen Hurts guy coming into the year, and are you a Jalen Hurts guy now?
I was trading him away. He's an outlier. I'm pumped that he got the contract. He seems like a really great dude. He totally deserves it. He's been magnificent for them. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. But as a dynasty player, I'm not going to buy into that profile. No way.
What, mobile quarterback that's on the good offense that they want to put offensive weapons around him so he can improve his situation? Yeah, you never want to buy into that, Tommy.
I get that, but like, he wasn't reading the field properly, and he grew. He was able to read the field, diagnose, and get to his second, third, and fourth read. That's the difference. I mean, you either have it or you don't most of the time, and that's what makes him an outlier. Not necessarily the draft capital, but the improvement, the ability to diagnose the defense before the snap and then after the snap and deliver the ball on time.
And I was saying before the season, he did improve from year one to year two. And he's like, I listened to a couple of Eagles podcasts, and this is one in particular I listened to. They had pointed out he had pretty much improved like every year going back to college. He kind of improved statistically, just to eye test, all that stuff. And like you said, he is he has like all the intangibles. He is a great guy. He is a leader. He has all that stuff. And I just felt like, well, especially once they added AJ Brown, that it was just a matter of time. I didn't quite think runner up for MVP, but I thought he was still going to be a lot better than he was year two, and ended up panning out. Yeah.
All right. But back to the dynasty of it all. Does this do anything for you? Like, is he moved up in any rankings? Is he, I guess this won't move him down. And like, are you more into any of the peripherals on the Eagles offense or pushing down other quarterbacks? Does anything
change? I already had him top three. So
yeah, same. So I'm pretty much where I was. What about you, Tommy?
Yeah, I think my question moving forward is, what does this do for the passing volume? Now that we know that he's there for the long term, are they going to start to design more plays that he's comfortable with throwing the ball as opposed to some of these rugby style runs and things like that. And what does it do for his pass catchers? You know, I think the big decision now is Devonta Smith or Goddard. And personally, I would assume that they're going to lean toward re-signing Goddard and keeping him as the cap sort of scrunches down on them. I know that it's pretty friendly at the beginning, but these are real numbers. The cap is a real thing, and eventually this bill is going to come due. So I wonder if Devonta Smith is going to go the route of A.J. Brown, and in a year or two, he might be moving on to different pastures.
Okay, so the cap is what it is, but if I know one thing about Howie Roseman, it's he knows how to extend his tight ends. How long did he keep Zach Ertz on that team? How long did he keep... Not Kelsey. What's the other guy?
Brent Celek.
Yeah. There's another pair of brothers, and that's why it's stuck in my head. Was it Brent Celek? Was he the guy?
Or also, Celek has the same letters as Kelsey, by the way.
Please don't break my brain this early. Oh, crap, it's gone. But, like, we needed Celek gone forever for Ertz to be able to go up, but he kept Celek around for, like, two extensions. He's finally gone, and we're like, all right, let Ertz go so we can get some now I'm saying Kelsey, so we can get some Goddard action, and he kept Ertz around for another 2 years. So, like, I'm all in on Howie Roseman's ability to keep tight ends around, but I will legitimately be sad if Devonta Smith goes away. Like, I like Devonta Smith. I like him where he is and how he is. Like, now I'm sad.
Well, I will say, with regards to the cap hit, I don't know if this is absolutely correct. I saw it in a tweet, and I didn't try and vet it or anything. But the tweet that was sent out, it was funny. The original point of the tweet was that over the next 4 years, Jalen Hurts has a lower cap hit than Daniel Jones in each year, which I thought was hilarious. But also that none of the cap hits through 26 were over $30 million. So they structured this in a way that they may even be able to but I think 27, 28 are probably some ridiculous number, like $80 million or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, they'll restructure that, the cap will go up, all that stuff. But so I'm not even totally sure that they don't keep both of them. I mean, like I said, Howie's a cap genius, but receivers do make a crap load of money. So Devontae's gonna get paid in a couple of years. I guess after this year he can get extended if they want to. This will be his third year, right?
Yeah, 21, 22, 23.
Yeah, so if they want to, they can extend them after this year. But, I mean, the first 4 years starting this year of Hertz's contract aren't ridiculous. So depending on what, you know, how they structure, maybe they can work something out.
Love it.
For both, yeah.
All right, well, like I said, there wasn't really – that was the news, and I'm sorry to bring everybody down with my sad, sad news of my – the death of my joke.
Yeah.
But next part comes, we get to make our guest do the work of deciding, what do you want to do next? Do you want to do listener questions or trade addicts trades?
Let's knock out some questions. Let's do it.
Fine, I'll scroll down. All right, so the first one we have is from some guy at J Mike Check. Sounds like a good guy.
Frank's upset you haven't brought up Davis Mills season.
I said I wasn't going to do it, but like, Frank went away and then came back to multiple times say, come on, Russ, it's Davis Mills season. Apparently, there are now rumors that the Texans are willing to trade back. And apparently, that means not take a quarterback. No, not doing it. I love you, Frank, but no.
I won't believe it until I see it anyway.
No. Like, this is really, like, the worst GM speak time. Like, when it comes to the draft, we'll trade back. No, we're not going to trade back. Yeah, they do. Like, I don't even think they know why they say these things anymore. It's just like, oh, I think we're supposed to say something. We're looking to trade up. For what? We have quarterbacks and what? Like, what are you thinking? I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, that's what it feels like. And yes, Frank, that was a lot of no's, and I held some back. So, at J Mike Check. My question at the end of my tweet was, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up, and did you get close to it? I couldn't decide what to be as a kid. Earliest memories were dreams of being a marine biologist or a veterinarian. Present day, not close. And he says, tell us about a time you achieved something you thought would never happen. like, I can go first pretty easily if you guys need time to think, because, I mean, you are listening to it right now.
It's funny. I had two things that came to mind, and one of mine was, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Like, specifically this show, even though, like, I, you know, when I, even when I started Junkies, Trade Addicts is my favorite podcast, I never imagined I'd be hosting it with you, so.
Ryan didn't stop loving me and just leave me. No, but like before I started the show, well, that's poorly worded. Like, even worse, when I started the show, I was an insane introvert. People terrify me. Like, I don't speak out loud by myself or to my wife often enough. And then I'm like, why am I doing every step of the way? And I'm like, I should do this. Why am I doing this? I'm going to start a podcast. Why the hell would I start a podcast? So yeah, like, this is absolutely something I never thought I would do. Having a freaking Twitter account with a name Outhouse in it and having people actually follow it, creating leagues that thousands people want people to be in. Like, none of this did I ever imagine for a second would happen. Oh yeah, and I mentioned my wife. Never thought that would happen either. Thank you, Trish.
I'll give Tommy a little more time to answer too. Two things I was going to say was, one with the deciding what you wanted to be when you were a kid. I don't know if I really had anything super like set in mind when I was little, but I just wanted to bring this up because I thought it was funny. My dad has told me a story a couple times about, I was 4 years old and I went up to him and I said, when I grow up, I want to be either a cardiologist. I said this at four, by the way, a cardiologist or Woody Woodpecker. I have no memory of this, but, and I have not gotten close to either of them either, but
well, I'm sorry. Well, I'm a little glad you didn't become a cardiologist, because then you wouldn't have time to do this, but
no
offense, and I love you, Rock, glad you did not become Woody Woodpecker.
And then the thing that about you, Chi, the other thing I thought of besides the podcast, this also requires a little explanation. When before I was married, I always told my wife I wanted to have, who was then my girlfriend and then fiance, that I wanted to have four kids, two boys and two girls. Cut to 2010, have my fourth kid is a boy after two girls and a boy. I never thought that would actually happen. I said it because I wanted to have everybody to have a brother and a sister. And then the moral of the story is, be careful what you wish for.
See, you planned that. I was like, we were just two and done. We did not care what they were. We were just like, everyone, because we got a boy and a girl, and everyone's like, oh, you're so lucky. Like, what would you have done if you didn't get a girl that second time? Had two boys. What are you talking about? Like, that's it.
Yeah, so I didn't ever think when I said that it was something that would actually happen. And I didn't realize what I was in for when I actually said it either. But here we are.
Careful what you wish for. That's the theme of that one. All right, what do you got, Tommy?
Yeah, so when I was a kiddo, I wanted to be a woods guide. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Alaska. And like, that was one of the coolest things you could do there, was bring people into the woods and show them all these awesome things. I am not that, but I do sustainability.
Protecting the woods in a little bit of a way.
Yeah. It's a cool job. It's just, I would not have held up. I'm not tough enough or smart enough or capable enough to be one of those people. But I do sustainability work, and I think that's cool. It's rewarding for me. The other thing, the thing that I never thought I could do. Yeah, so I was born with degenerative hearing loss in my right ear, and I lost all hearing when I was like 6 years old. And a lot of people don't realize this, but when you pop in your headphones to listen to music, there's usually sound on one side that doesn't match the other side, right? Yep. And so when I was 25 or so, I got a surgery and I got like 20% of the hearing in my right ear. And the first thing I did was listen to all the music that I had heard before, because I could hear it in this depth that was just incredible to me. I'm super grateful for that. I think it's really cool. I never, ever expected to have that. And now it's just like this whole different side of music for me that I really enjoy.
Did you cry? Because I'm crying thinking about it.
I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I got it on Christmas Eve, I remember. And they chopped my ear off.
Way to step it up a notch.
Yeah, it was this whole thing, and my insurance was going to run out, and I had to get it done. And so it was this whole thing, and I remember a couple weeks later, yeah, popping those headphones in. It was really cool.
That's freaking great, man. And yep. To, just to turn this back into complete silliness, because that's what the show is, I never had any idea what I wanted to be when I grow up, but my daughter, for the longest time, from the second she was able to talk, if you asked her what she wanted to be when she grew up, she wanted to be a unicorn. And then when she was like two and like, she was like three at one point, and someone, she's like, we were talking to our friends' parents, you know, like other kids' parents, and we're just like, oh yeah, Ellie wants to be a unicorn when she grows up. Like, just watch. Hey, Ellie, what do you want to be when you grow up? A doctor. I thought you wanted to be a unicorn. She's like, I do want to be a unicorn, but I only have two legs.
is that more or less likely than being Woody Woodpecker?
Well, pretty similar if you ask me, you know, horn instead of beak,
yeah.
Mythological / cartoon. It's equally as impossible.
Okay.
I don't know if it makes you feel better or worse. Not sure. Whatever it is. All right, so let's move on next to our next two questions. Have actually, you know what? A lot of these actually, we have three questions, and they all sort of play into each other. So we're going to skip down to @GeronimoRambles, who says, "Should J Mike be banned from playing Dynasty?" And the answer is yes, because he's too good at it, and he is so nice and smooth about it. You don't realize how badly he's winning.
And you can't even be pissed at how good his team is because you like him so much.
Like, yeah, like you don't pay attention. And then all of a sudden, he has, what was it, 18 of the first 16 picks in a very, very good 2021 draft class. And then makes a Twitter thread of videos of him announcing all of the picks.
Which was amazing.
Which was freaking amazing. And then he takes Trevor Lawrence at the 112 just to mess with my ADP. But then let's calm down. How many current running backs are completely safe from being replaced in the draft? And I think the answer to that is very, very, very few. But this also plays into Adam Wilde's question, who do you trust most to have long-term success between Isaiah Pacheco, Khalil Herbert, and Tyler Algier? I mean, my answer to that is none of them. Like
that's the easy answer, Russ. Pick one.
Like if I had to choose, I'll say Isaiah Pacheco for the pure reason of I like him more. The real answer is actually, you know what? I was gonna say the real answer to me is Tyler Algier because the Falcons have so much else to worry about that running back doesn't seem like it should be much of a priority, but they're making a lot of moves now that are very win now-ish moves, like, you know, trading for a lot of defensive players, signing a couple of offensive linemen, that kind of stuff. Like, it looks like they're not sitting back. They're not rebuilding. They're just ready to go. So maybe that involves drafting a running back, especially with how much they like to run the ball. But I think Isaiah Pacheco will have a role regardless if Kansas City drafts another running back because, A, he's very good in the return game, so he'll be on the field, and so he'll be on the roster, I should say. And then that dude was just pure energy on the field. Like, if like you're down in a game and you just need to get your team riled up, you throw Pacheco in there because he's going to, whether he can or can't, try and barrel over six dudes at once. And like, he was just so much fun to watch. So my answer there is Pacheco out of the three of them. But honestly, like, short of the studs of studs, short of the teams that have full-on workhorse backs, like the Giants, you know, I don't think anyone is super safe. Like, I think every team in this kind of draft where you can get a 1B-style running back of a committee in the fourth or fifth round, because that's how deep it is in this draft, I don't think anyone's super safe. What about you, Tommy?
Yeah, 2 points there. I'll start with the lower end running backs. So again, I like to lean in when people are leaning out. If folks are scared off on these running backs and I can get a discount on a Tyler Algier, I'm all for it. Let's say they draft Bijan Robinson, like worst case scenario, right? Top 24 running backs About half of them lose three or more starts per season due to injury. I would love to have those three or four clarified starts from Tyler Allgeier for a discount, because we know he can play and we know he's going to be around for a while. Pacheco's profile is one that those tend to fade. I'd rather have someone like an Allgeier with slightly more capital, slightly more investment, and a real willingness to run the ball. So that would be my leaning on that question. And then should J. Mike be allowed to play in leagues? He's an awesome dude from the limited interactions I've had with him already. But I want to talk about taking down a lion, because he's got just two or three starting lineups. I mean, it's insane, the team that he has. I think the inclination for a lot of folks is to bide their time and wait for him to sort of burn himself out a little bit, which probably isn't
never going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has two or three firsts in the next 2 years anyway.
If you have a quote unquote J Mike in your league, someone who's built just this dominant team and they've taken, let's say, 15 of the top 30 assets, that's the time when I want to attack. I want to compete with that person because there's a diluted pool. There's a lot of players that don't really matter that are left on all of the other teams. And if I can get three or four of them, I might be the second buy team. And then all I have to do is get lucky on 1 week and take this guy down or get second place. You play to win the game. You may as well, when you have these dominant teams, try to attack when other people are fading away.
I agree, but of course Russ gave me a crappy orphan in that league, so I haven't really had the chance to try and take him down yet.
I mean, I came close to almost getting into the playoffs to do it, because I wanted to rebuild on that team last year, except J. Mike had my first, and I tried to get it back, and he's like, dude, your first is going to be early. I'm like, will it be? Huh? So I started to make some trades to compete while keeping some of my youth, and I made it to seventh place. That's a lie. I was technically sixth place, but I didn't. Our sixth seed is most points, and I did not have that. So pretty much I lucked into sixth place anyway. But yeah, but I completely agree with you. And the thing is, what I'm doing now in my TA6 team is exactly what I did going into last season. I'll spend the entire non-point scoring season putting together a lot of youth that I believe will score points as well. Like, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, I have Drake London, I have Pat Freiermuth. And then we're going to get close to the season, and I will find ways to go get the Adam Thielens of the world and then start competing as I go. Because like you said, like Tommy just made the amazing point that when there is someone like I feel bad like saying someone like J. Mike, like it's a bad thing. Like nothing about J. Mike is ever bad. But when you do have that team that is just so dominant, you're going to have a lot of teams that are going to want to take the long rebuild and build their team the real dynasty way and get young players that build them into the dynasty. And like that's not even how he did it. So no, that's not what you should do. So you'll be able to get those like Terry McLaurin's or like these wide receivers that are hitting 27, 28 that people want to start getting off of because their value is going to start going down. You know, so like Cooper Kupp, who's like 74, but still one of the best runners in the league and still going to be a top five wide receiver for whenever he's healthy. So yeah, like I think that's a great strategy for when there is one of those guys. But my add to that would be to slow play it. Build up as much value as you can in the non-point scoring season. And right before you hit the beginning of the point scoring season, just unload some of the stuff you don't need anymore. The guys that didn't go up as much as you hoped, or the guys that are still just like the George Pickens of last year. Like there's more hype than there is actual point potential. So you're just like, all right, I'll get rid of that so I can get point scoring guy in a second, and then you do something with the second. Like that's the kind of moves I like to make in those situations.
Yeah, okay, I don't have anything to add to that.
Geronimo Rambles throws that in there. As a kid growing up, I wanted to be a dinosaur. Mission accomplished. Dad, you can't be a dinosaur. You're a man. I don't think that was Step Brothers quote reference, but that's where it brought me. All right, well, that is our listener questions, so we can delete those. And let's move up to the trade addicts trades. TradeX leagues are 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points per return yardage, except for TA1. And there's always TA1 trades lately, man. This league's getting.
It seemed like a while there where like TA1 was start like.
There was a year like and a half months, where they were in the TA1 trade. And yeah. now
all they do is.
A week and a half for them TA1 trade. But it is also very helpful right now. We have Jim, who has always been very strong for rookie picks, but he's going extra strong right now. And I wish I had I have the 201 and 202. And while those are one pick away from being a first round, one and two picks from being a first round pick, having that two in front of it just kills the value. So I can't get anything good for it. His first, these are both his. Yeah, but first trade, a 24 and 25 first for Lamar Jackson. Now, I'm uncomfortable with Lamar's situation right now. If he plays for the Ravens, it'll be contentious. I think he'll still play. Like, I think half-assing in the NFL gets you hurt. Like, to me, that I don't know why that's in my head. I have no hard evidence to that. It's very anecdotal, but if he plays, he's going to play well. If he plays. Where he plays? I don't know if it even matters where he plays, because he's that good. 24 and a 25 first is nothing.
Yeah, going back to the news, I think this might help spur the Lamar thing along. Like, he's seen now another quarterback get signed to a massive contract, but it wasn't fully guaranteed. It kind of provides a framework for what he, you know, maybe he gets a little more guaranteed money than Hurts, maybe even gets a little more total money than Hurts. So I think this might help the Ravens actually get him back there. I actually feel a little bit better about Lamar because of the Hurts signing. But you're totally right. I would give up a 24 and 25 first for Lamar Jackson. So.
Thoughts, Tommy?
Yeah, I think this is a disaster, to be honest with you. I don't want to be mean, but let's say this goes perfectly to plan. You know, let's say that the person getting the two firsts, they have two quarterbacks fall to them over the next 2 years. So in 2024, they've got the 105 and they get a quarterback and they're going to be a top 12 quarterback. It takes a year for any rookie to really make a mark in fantasy. And then they do it again in 2025, right? So 3 years from now in a TA league, they'll have two strong quarterbacks. That's an eternity. I'd rather win. I'd rather use Lamar and all of the explosive points that you can get from him. It seems like at best a long-term play. And you're just donating buy-ins at that point.
Yeah, I was surprised because I know Jim is really into picks, but he usually handles it a little better. The next trade is Kenneth Walker for David Njoku, a 25 first and 25 second. I like Kenneth Walker. He's a very good runner of the football. He's overvalued in fantasy, in dynasty to me.
I would agree with that, but I don't think this is overvalued.
Way to just step on my transition right there. Like, even I would pay this for Kenneth Walker.
Exactly.
Ken Walker. Sorry. Like, he wants to be called Ken.
I feel the same way I felt about the Lamar trade.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, and I just love that David Njoku had to be thrown in there.
I know.
Such all the difference in the world.
Well, if you think Watson's going to be better, he's going to throw to some people. So.
He's going to throw to Elijah Moore. That's what he's going to do.
That's true.
David, no tight ends catching the ball. Elijah Moore's getting all those slot over the middle catches.
Yeah, I mean, Njoku didn't have a great year last year, but he was only 3 points per game lower than Ken Walker after he got rolling in week 5. So there really isn't that much of a difference. That's half a win, something like that, over the course of a season. And then you bank a 25 first and second. I'm on the other side. I'd rather take the picks and then accept that I'm going to be a few points per game lower and possibly make that up with a higher passing volume and move down the line with my picks.
Agreed. Next, we move on to TA3. And this one interested me. The 201 and a 24 second for Miles Sanders? I mean, I'll let someone else talk first for once, because I think I've answered first on every question in both trades. So, Tommy, why don't you go first on this one?
Yeah, I'd be interested in the pick side and wondering what I could get for that 201, if I could get someone similar to a Miles Sanders, and then bank the 24 second for about week 8 and see if I could supplement when one of my guys goes down. Feels like you can get 2 Miles Sanders out of this deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. I think people are liking him. Not that like he's got a super hype train going or anything, but I think people are liking him a little more in Carolina because they're seeing, thinking he's going to get more work maybe than he got with the Eagles. But it's also a much lesser offense with a rookie quarterback, no weapons around him. They're not going to score a lot of touchdowns. So I think it's fair though, just to, 2 seconds for Miles Sanders, but I think I'm with Tommy. Like, I like Miles Sanders as a talent, but it's hard to see like great fantasy production coming in Carolina for the next year or two. Even if he is kind of getting like 80% of the workload, like what is 80% of like a load of crap? Well, you know what I'm saying. Not that Sanders is a load of crap, but that his offense is, even if like CJ Stroud or Bryce Young is a good player, I don't know that we're going to see a lot from him year one. So you're not getting a ton of production, I think, out of anybody in that offense over the next year or two.
I don't know. Like, I like the landing spot for Miles Sanders, and a lot of it does have to do with how well Deonta Foreman and Chuba Hubbard did at the end of last season. Like, they were crushing it, and it wasn't compiling. It wasn't like they were running the ball 48 times a game, and that's why they were both doing so well. Like, they were just running well, and Miles Sanders, to me, is infinitely more talented than both of them. That being said, pick one of those picks, and that should be the price. Like, and in another TA league, and I forgot to write it down, Miles Sanders went for the 202. Straight up, like, to me, that's what you pay for Miles Sanders. You pay an early second to add the 24 second on top. Like, maybe you just wanted to get the deal done. Like, you just really wanted Miles Sanders, and you just didn't want to have to discuss it, so you did it. I get that, and I'm not having anybody on to argue their case if it's not me or Rocky. So I don't know. I don't remember who did this, and I'm not giving them a chance. So take that. But I do like Miles Sanders. I want him to do well. Like, you're stuck behind Saquon, and then you go to a team where it looked like you had a really good landing spot, and then all of a sudden they don't want to let one guy run the ball anymore, and you get hurt a bunch, and you never had the chance to be the guy you could have been. But you know what does fill my soul?
By the Sleeper app.
So I usually go out of my way to make the trade of the week one of my trades, just because this is my show and that's what I want to do. But this was such a big boy trade, I had to do it. TA6, we have Kyler Murray, the 109, and a 25 first. One more time. Kyler Murray, 109, 25 first. For Josh Allen. I know I just said I answered a lot as the first person, and I was going to let other people do it. Can't help it. I would do this all day to get Josh Allen. All day. I don't think it's like cheap. I don't think it's like a nothing price. Like, that's a lot of value, but it's Josh Allen. You give up a hurt quarterback, even though he can come back and be top 5 pretty easily. The 109 is pretty meh at this point. And a 25 first might as well be a 29 first. I don't care. Give me Josh Allen. So much Josh Allen.
I feel like that's what probably Tommy's going to say too. I'll let Tommy go first.
Yeah, this
Tommy seems like a quarterback guy to me.
Totally. Yeah, this feels fair. I mean, it's totally fair, but I don't want fair if I'm going to be giving away Josh Allen. I love Kyler. I'm higher on Kyler than maybe the market.
My man.
Yeah, I mean, he puts up points. I think that Kingsbury was holding him back, to be honest with you. I don't buy all the Call of Duty nonsense. But I mean, the only way this isn't a disaster is if you're rebuilding, right? If you're saying, I just don't want any points. I'm going to use my own first round pick next year to get a high level quarterback. I'll have Kyler back and I've got this extra capital, but it's Josh Allen. I mean, when those opportunities present themselves to get one of the superheroes, Mahomes or Allen, you take it. And I would certainly take the Allen side.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you guys said, but I don't, I think it is fair. And I don't think I would do this if I was on either side. Like, I don't think I'd want to sell Josh Allen for this, but if I had Kyler the 109-25 first, I don't think I'd send him because I'm with Tommy. I've said it a million times on this podcast that I am significantly higher, I think, on Kyler than the market is. And you're totally right. When he's in there, he scores. He scores points. He runs. He's probably one of the better passers of the running quarterbacks. I would say him and Hurts probably are the two best at kind of combining the two. And I just don't think it's worth adding two extra firsts if I already have Kyler to for whatever the point upgrade is. Like you said, I guess if you're a super like top two team and you're going to be missing Kyler half the year, I can see it, but I'd rather just have the picks and take the to me, it's a slight point downgrade once Kyler's back. It's not massive.
I mean, yes, I get it. But I've been on a big upgrade kick lately, and this is something I would, at this point, pretty easily do.
Yeah, and I think more, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, I think more people would side with you two and going, giving this for Allen. I'm just, it's not, I'm not saying I would give Allen for this, but like I said, I don't want to give Kyler in the picks for this either.
Well, now I completely forgot what I was going to say, but it was Kane Fussell at Devi_Kane, T-A-H, shout out, months ago at this point, brought up the brilliant idea of if you have a rebuilding team, you trade for Kyler Murray, you pretty much tank the next year because you're going to go a couple of months without him anyway. And if you get the 101, you're getting Caleb Williams, who he claims will walk in as a top 10 dynasty quarterback because that's just how good he is, and Kyler Murray as your starting quarterbacks on a rebuild. And that's really good. So, yes, Kyler Murray is a great way to go if you do plan on going into a rebuild. But, man, like, and I get it, and maybe it's my lack of patience in wanting to pull that move off of having to wait for Kyler and all of that stuff and wait through the end of the season. And I want something, and I don't know what that is. Like, maybe if the 109 and the 25 first was put together into one piece, I would feel better about it. But to me, this is pretty, like, this is Josh Allen to me.
I get it.
Because I'm right, I know. And that is your trade of the week, brought to you by Sleeper Fantasy, the fastest growing fantasy football platform in the world. Join a new dynasty league or migrate yours to their platform and enjoy how easy they make it to manage all your leagues in one place. Join millions of players today on Sleeper, the number one fantasy football platform. Download the app today to get started. We had a bunch of trades go down in TA6. The next one was Michael Pittman for a 24 first.
I think Rocky.
What was that?
All right, Michael Pittman for a 24 first.
Do we know where the 24 first looks like it's going to be?
No cheating. No cheating. It's a 24 first.
I would probably rather have the 24 first. I'm lower. I feel like I'm lower on Michael Pittman than most people are. Plus, he's just in general, and then he's going to have a rookie quarterback most likely on top of it, which means he's not going to produce very well because 90% of the time wide receivers, you know, don't produce well with rookie quarterbacks. So I think unless you feel certain it's like bottom three or something, I think I'd rather have the 24 first.
I'm a sucker for Michael Pittman. You'll find that out later.
Tommy?
How do you feel, Tommy?
Well, this was my trade. I agree with a lot of what you said, Rocky. This 24 first was J. Mike's, and this is the only.
Oh, so it's the 112.
Yeah, it's the only 24 first. Yeah, like I would not give up any other 24 firsts for Michael Pittman. But the way I thought this through was, what am I trying to get? What am I trying to accomplish with a 24-112? I'm hoping to get someone that looks a whole lot like Michael Pittman, except I'm 1 year further down the line. I'm a long distance cyclist and I have a roll-off hub on my bicycle, and you actually pay more for used roll-off hubs than brand new ones because it takes a few thousand miles to break them in. I was using the same idea here with Michael Pittman. I know he's good. I don't have to take that extra risk, and I can sort of eat that extra variance of, yeah, the rookie quarterback is going to be a hindrance for him. But you know what? I don't know who that rookie wide receiver is going to be next year that I might draft. And I know this guy's good. I'm willing to pay the 112 next year for it.
Yeah. Honestly, with that, I did not. I remember thinking that when I saw the trade, but I did not remember that it, until you said it, that it was J. Mike's pick. Knowing that it's almost certainly bottom two or three, I actually do like it a little more knowing that. Yeah.
So this next one, I missed when it happened in the real world because I did not see it until I filled out the show sheet. But apparently someone traded the 101 for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like when we do all of the shows, all of the whatever, when we're talking about trading away the 101, it always comes down to the 101 for Fields or Lawrence. And you're just like, it's even, but I don't know if it's something I want to do. And here it is in the real world. And I'm just like, yeah, that's fine. Whatever. I'm glad it wasn't me that had to make a decision.
They're two spots apart in ADP.
Exactly.
It's like that's, B. John's the 101. Yeah.
In startups, Fields and Lawrence go, Chase and Jefferson go, and then Bijan is drafted. Like, yep. That's what it is. So they are right next to each other, and the pick is always worth more than the player, so you have to move up a little. Like, yeah, this is, to me, is exactly even. If you're not good enough for Bijan, I think you'd be pretty happy to have Fields on your team.
Yeah, it's literally Lawrence, Jefferson, Fields, Chase, Bijan. That's the order for March anyway, yeah. yeah, I'm with you. If you're rebuilding, then I think this is fine. I think they're super close. Being the non elite QB guy that I am, if I'm competing, I probably want Bijan. But if you have the 101 and it's your 101, then I have no problem trading it for Fields. I think that's even.
I would just ask if you've shopped around enough. You know, I agree that it's even, but the hype on Bijan could grow a little bit more. And can I tier up a little bit higher, or can I tier down and really cash in? Can I get a Dak Prescott, let's say, and get a really strong plus on top? Or can I move up? Can I get one of these Mahomes or Allen type deals by adding something to the 101 so that I'm really set up for the long term? Because we're still not quite sure. Is Fields the guy? Is he someone?
Yes, he is. Calm down.
I have doubts. I have questions.
you're wrong. He's good.
By the way, it's funny you mentioned Dak specifically, because in the ADP, which I'm staring at, he is one spot below Bijan. Does anyone really think that, like, they're 101 and Dak are virtually equal at this point? Like, Bijan and Dak are virtually equal? Like, it does not feel like that in the trade market.
Why there's always a strong difference between trade value and startup drafts. And that's exactly why, because startups don't account for tier breaks. And that's one hell of a tier break.
Yeah.
But Dak is the next play. Dak and Tua, to me, are the next two players that are right there. And usually, well, if you're the kind of person that believes Tua is going to be fine and play in the NFL and have a career, that's usually where he is, unless you're worried about his health, in which case he'll fall down. But like, to me, that those next two picks are usually, or a few, I should say, Dak, Tua, and then the wide receivers in AJB and CeeDee Lamb. But yeah, usually you're not going to see one-for-one trades of any of those for the 101.
Can I ask a trade question?
No.
Not allowed.
I want to circle back. So would you take Dak and Dalvin Cook for the 101? Nope. Or would you take Dak and Mixon for the 101?
Nope.
I wouldn't want to do that either.
Man. My big thing about that is I don't feel good enough about the production that you're going to be getting out of Mixon or Dalvin, and you are just taking on age and absolute declining assets. Like, that is a move I would make, because what I was going to say as the next part of the conversation is, I did say that this is insanely equal. Is it something I would do? Probably not. And the reason for that is, if I'm trading away the 1-1 because my team is bad, I want multiple things coming back. I don't want to 1-for-1 the 101. And like you said, like, if you took another step, like I said, Dak and Tua are the next players there. If it was like Tua and, man, like, I'm trying to like struggle because like Jerry Jeudy isn't enough, but someone like Drake London is way too much, probably. Like, if someone threw Tua and Drake London at me for the 101, I would stare at it for a long time until I probably either hit accept because I didn't want to think about it, or hit reject because I didn't want to think about it anymore. And then knowing me, that means I'd probably just hit accept because I don't want to think about it anymore. Like, that's kind of where I am on the 101. But still, the 101 for Fields is perfect. But I'm sure you're both happy, and that's all that matters. All right, the next trade we have the 111, 311, and a 25-second for J.K. Dobbins. Okay, hold on. J.K. Dobbins with a 111.
J.K. Dobbins pretty easily for me, but I think I'm higher than Dobbins than most.
I want to be, and I will be fine being... I would be thrilled if the answer is J.K. Dobbins. Like, in real life. Like, if he comes back next season and he's as fast... Not as fast as he was, because that dude hurt his knee. So, like, maybe he never gets back to top speed, but, like, he was getting better as the end of the season drove on, and it was really sad to see him get caught on every run he broke. Like, his speed was just not there. And I know he's still getting healthy. I know that's not long-term. I would actually be fine. Like, I will pay the wait-and-see tax on J.K. Dobbins because I don't think his price will go up that much.
Yeah, I've said I think that we're going to see a fairly significantly better Dobbins in 23 than we saw in 22, a year removed from the injury. That's pretty common. We saw it with Saquon last year. We saw it with Dalvin when he hurt his, when he tore his ACL a while back. He was not great the following year. I think he did get a compensation injury, and then the next year he was great, you know. So I'm not saying he's definitely going to be either of those two guys, but I still think he's going to be fairly, you know, a decent amount better than what people think of him as just based off of last year. So, I think that's worth more than the 111 to me. I don't feel great about the end of the first round this year.
I think there'll be a lot of good options, but yeah. Maybe now you feel great. Like, again, like, you know, I make it seem like it was such a big thing added to the one. It's a 25-second. Like, that's forever for now. Like,
yeah,
it took
I don't 25 really worry seconds that much about
field done, I'd throw it in almost every single time.
But it's not like a couple years ago where you were, like, at the time before they were even playing, I felt this way about these guys. Like, you were getting Waddle or Devontae Smith at the 111 a couple years ago. It's not, to me, it's not like that.
Oh, it's not that, no.
Yeah.
I think if you did this trade in a league that wasn't named Trade Addicts, I think it's genius to take the picks, because it's very unlikely that Dobbins is going to be around and relevant in 2025. And so you're sort of setting this clock for that second to potentially be higher, because this manager is indicating that they're going for it, right? They're looking for win now running backs. And I love Dobbins. He's my most rostered running back. In a TA league, I mean, it's fair. I would lean Dobbins because so much changes in these leagues that give me some points now and I'll figure it out later.
And Frank is in the chat just straight up trolling us, saying Dak, Mixon, Dalvin, and Mills for the 101. It's not happening, Frank. Next trade we have is my... aforementioned tease of me loving Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman for Mike Williams and Pat Freiermuth. I forgot what you originally, I think you wanted a 24 first, and I was just like, eh. Or you wanted to give me a 20, I can't remember what it was, but I'm like, just give me Michael Pittman. And you just said yes. And I'm like, oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, this was serendipity to me because I'm not super in on Pittman. It was just a value gain. You know, I wanted to help flesh out my roster a little bit. And then this happened. I did offer you my first next year because I valued it higher than Michael Pittman. But then when you came back with this, I thought, you know, Mike Williams and Michael Pittman scored pretty similarly in a points per game last year, and historically it's been pretty close. And then Freiermuth is what, 24, 25 years old, tight end premium. I can just sort of lean into the premium and grind out, I don't know, 50 starts with him over the next few years if I want to, or I can move off of him at some point for the next Michael Pittman.
I need to boil this freaking chair. I agree with everything you said. Mike Williams, to me, well, hashtag Team Clem is a big wide receiver, first of all. Second of all, I've always wanted him to, like, I don't even need him to be healthy the entire season. I don't expect any NFL player to be healthy the entire season anymore. Like, it is a joy for any player to make it through. And Mike Williams just, it was rough to sit through that. And I firmly believe it is the smart move for the Chargers to add 86 wide receivers to their roster after what happened to them last year. So that's why while I understand their points per game have been close, but I'm ready for Pittman to take over what I wish Mike Williams to be. And Muth, like we said it before, when it came to tight ends, like, I want the positional advantage. I want that guy. Muth isn't there. And I don't know if he will, because now they have Allen Robinson, and so they don't need Freiermuth anymore.
That's exactly what it is.
Yes. Tight ends, I get it's a tight end premium, and that absolutely does add value to them. But in the long run, it's just like, I don't care about Pat Freiermuth on my team. He's worth about a first. Like, I've been trying to trade Muth the entire non-point scoring season and haven't been able to get the equivalent of a first for him. So this is pretty much, to me, Muth for Pittman, and I threw in Mike Williams to get it done. And I think that's sort of along the lines of how it's received. And like you said, you were willing to pay a little bit more, but I wanted the points as opposed to a first that probably would have been easy enough to move. Like, because like you said, in a league with someone like J. Mike, everyone's trying to rebuild a little bit. goodbye French jokes, hello A-Rob jokes. There's no joke. A-Rob's it's the man. You know, it's happening. I am so gone at this point. Rocky, did you talk about this one yet?
I did not. I was just gonna chime in that for me, Freiermuth is what really does it for me. You're saying he's not a lead or anything yet, but he's still only in his going into his third year, and God, my washing machine is making a lot of noise in the background.
I don't hear it.
Hopefully everyone can't hear that. But anyway, he was eighth in points per game last year, which is oh, not yeah. bad. No, he's
absolutely good.
Guy.
I agree. Yeah.
And he only had two touchdowns. So like I don't know if he's ever going to – yeah, I don't know that he's ever going to be like, you know, Kelsey Andrews range, but I certainly think he could be – Goddard Hawk range, which I really like those guys too. Those top
can he
five,
be,
six guys.
Can he be Garrett Selleck range?
Brent Selleck.
Garrett with the. And were they both tight end and offensive linemen, or was.
I think Garrett, was he a. I thought he might. Was he a fullback?
No.
I don't remember.
He was either an offensive lineman or defensive lineman. I can't remember anymore.
I don't remember.
But if it was another tight end or offensive lineman, I'm going to need to. Either there's a glitch in the matrix and it got lazy.
Especially
it's
with
like, whatever, just switch the letters around. No one will
exactly,
know.
Especially with the anagram of the last names. But yeah, like I really like Muth, and to me, he wouldn't be that far off Pittman for me by himself. So with the Mike Williams ad, I really like that side of it, getting two guys. Yeah.
You're wrong. All right. The last trade we have is trade addict 7, and it's another 101 trade. There was two 101 trades in the TA leagues. And I still can't trade the ones I have. The 101 for the 104, 107, and 204. Is that enough for you to move off the 101, Tommy?
In this format, it is. Running backs are just a little bit devalued when you run it through a matrix. I'm willing to sit at the 104 And then
wait. Okay. So I just made a simulation joke and you're talking about running things through the Matrix.
Sorry.
I don't like this.
I built a little tool once I joined this league, taking in injury rates for the different positions and then the format and the lineup requirements. So that's what I was talking about. It's not great to have a running back in this league. It's better to just sort of dig through the gutter. And so once you tear down in this way, you have a lot of different outs. I like Bijan the player, or at least I think I do. I haven't seen him in the NFL yet, right? But this is a good deal in this format because you can lean into both premiums. You can lean into the super flex and you can lean into the tight end premium by tearing down this way.
For the record, by the way, Garrett Celek was also a tight end.
Okay, good.
I Googled it.
Thank you. Oh, and Frank, like I said, is who's better at all the stuff than I am.
Actually,
we should have him on the show, but then we'd have no one in the chat. Like, we got no questions because Tommy was on the show. Go ahead. Sorry, you talk.
Yeah. I think it's fair. You know, you're getting one of the three quarterbacks that everyone's talking about going after Bijan at 104, which is pretty nice. And then the 107 is still a pretty good pick. I think that's kind of a tier break there. I think it's just the unrealistic expectations that people have for the 101 that is the only thing that makes me think this isn't enough because everyone thinks you should get the world for Bijan. But I kind of agree with Tommy. I think it's pretty fair. It's just everyone thinks it's hard to evaluate 101 trades this year because everyone thinks you should get a ridiculous return. And this isn't a ridiculous return, but I think it's a fair return. So would I do it? If I'm rebuilding, I think I would. I think I would take the three picks. And you don't really want Bijan in a rebuild anyway. Maybe you could get a little more, but I think this is fine.
It's good.
That's what I felt like.
like you're right. It's so hard to evaluate 101 trades, which is why I loved the 101 for Fields because it was so easy. It's just like, no, that's good. That's fine. That's fair. I get it. But like this, like you're going to the 104, so you're getting a quarterback or you're crazy like me and you'll go and take JSN because there's at least one league I'm going to do it in TA11 out of spite, and it's not spite whatsoever because I'm going to take JSN at 104, so Zach Reed can't get him. But then he's like, oh, no, I'm getting a quarterback. I'm like, no, don't sound happy. That defeats the purpose. This is good. Like, it really, really is. Like, yes, like, we are going to see them on Twitter, these insane trades you get for the 101. They're going to happen in some leagues somewhere, but it's a minority. It doesn't really happen that often. This is a good trade for the 101. You're getting a rookie quarterback. At the 107, you're still getting who I think is a top-tier player. I'm not ready to push Levis into the top seven, though I think there's a good chance he makes it there. To me, it's still Bijan, the three quarterbacks, JSN, Gibbs, and Addison. Like, those are my seven. Levis is at eight, and I know there's going to be plenty of leagues where he'll go earlier, and I'm fine with that, but for now, I still want to pretend like the top seven is what matters to me. In which case, you're there. You have two picks in that, what I call the tier that matters in this draft. And I feel like that should make me happy, but I'm just, it's okay. Like, I'm not sad, but that doesn't mean I'm happy. Like, But if I'm sitting at the 101 and my team's terrible, like honestly, and to put it back to what Tommy said before about the other 101 trade, assuming you've shopped it around enough, like this isn't a trade I would send out if I just randomly got it and I never really tried to move it. But if I've been trying for, and again, you know, we still have not quite a month, but close to a month before our rookie draft, there's still plenty of time for things to happen. You know, the draft still has to happen and that will affect Bijan's value. Well, it'll affect draft picks value, maybe not Bijan himself. So, like, things still have to happen and all of that stuff. But if I haven't moved it and I feel like I want to because I want to feel better about the rebuild I have going on, yeah, this isn't bad. I would probably take it. But on that note, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. And I am tired and I have so many boxes. I hate recycling because it's on Wednesdays. We record this on Tuesday. And I never do the smart thing and break down the boxes before the show. So, like, I don't get to go to bed now. But before we head out of here, I know I read your Twitter handle on this show every single week, but why don't you say it for once, Tommy? Why don't you let everyone know who you are and where they could find you?
Sure. Yeah. Tommy Blair at FF Tommy B. I've been getting trade questions lately. So if you want to DM me your trade questions, I'm happy to weigh in and offer a slightly analytical approach to that.
Analytical. Like, why are we bringing these smart people on? Like Rocky, like, why do we want to make ourselves look bad by having smart people on here? Like, I already make myself look bad by having Rocky on here because he's better than I am. But then we bring on someone smarter than both of us.
Yeah, it's I don't know what we're thinking, Russ.
Well, I let Tommy come on the show. So that is my bad, Rocky. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to us.
I blame you.
I blame me too, usually. Enough of that. I bring Rocky all the time. Mostly when he's not around for him to hear it. But thank you, Tommy, for coming on. I hope you had a great time because I had a great time. And again, that's all that matters. But before we actually leave, I have things. What are my things? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can hang with us while we record and tell me all the things that I don't know or can try and convince me that it's Davis Mills season when it's just not going to happen. And also we have the awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, which is just a grand old time. Grand old time. And ffpodshirts.storenv.com. Come and get your Trade Addict shirts, your SFB, what is last year was 12 stuff, your Dynasty Junkies stuff, and all those other stuff. Every single penny that comes in goes straight to Fantasy Care. So you get some cool stuff. Kids will get some cool stuff for the holidays. Everybody wins. And I think I say stuff, but I don't even know anymore. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.